I've been pushing for tomorrow. Every time for the people, right and wrong. But in every situation, God is the blessed part. Every one of our trials come to only be strong. It's the end, a lot of patience, and I've seen millions of faces, but they were for me so many times when I felt like I was all alone. But you know what? But right now I'm all the hour, it became a precious lonely hour. Jesus reminded me that I was alone. Everyone that can testify to the fact that through it all, you gotta go through. You gotta go through. You gotta go through. Don't you know that I've learned to trust in Jesus? I've learned to trust in God.
Thank you. But in every situation, God gave us consolation. Lions came to only make me strong.
You gotta go through. Don't you know that I never had to trust you? I've learned to trust in God. I had to trust somebody with me. And I thank him for every valley. And thank you, Jesus, for the thorns that he brought me through. You know what? For if I never had a problem, I never knew that God could come. And I never ever know what pleasing his word to do. But I'm glad to tell you,
for the mountains and
thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms. He's brought me through.
He's brought me through.
Oh, I've never had a problem. I never knew God could solve it.
I will never know
yet. I never know what faith is worth to do. And I love you, faith.
Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you have placed within each and every one of us a gift that is needed by someone in this world today. Father God, in Jesus' strength, we have been able to overcome by focusing on you, Father God, and your abilities, Lord Jesus, and by your impossible possibilities and your power, Holy Spirit. Spirit, Lord Jesus, Father God, you have created us for a purpose. Help us to find those who need us the most. In Jesus' name, I pray this morning. Help us. Top of the morning to you this morning. You know, something really strange happened. I'm so happy, number one, because God sent some technicians here. And when they looked at how big this church was and what I had asked them to do, that guy shook his head. He said, wow, he said, we're not going to be able to do this. We're going to have to get a crew to do this. He said, well, let me look around. When he said, let me look around, I went up on that altar, which is, well, you have to see it, but, and I got down on my knees. And I said, Father, I don't know these people, and they don't know me. I said, and I don't know if they know you or not. I said, but I'm asking you to give this young man creative ability. I'm asking you to give him divine wisdom how to do what I asked him to do. They went all around the building. They went over to Brother Joe, showed him the back. He said, well, there's a way
that we could do it. I said, uh-huh. He said, I said, well, just do it. He looked at me, and I know that the Holy Spirit was working on him. He went back up to the front. He went outside, and he looked at the building. He came back. He said, I believe we could do it. I said, I know you can do it. He looked at me again, and he got started. And I'm here to tell you, they're not finished yet. But they did better than what I originally wanted them to do. And they did it exactly the way God wanted it. See? And so they're going to come back and finish. Well, I got to find out. I got to call the company. But it's so good that it's way better than I anticipated. So you see, we have to put things in the hand of God, in the hands, plural, two hands. And then we have to trust them. And especially when we're working with other people. I used to be, when I was really, really dumb, I used to believe the lies people used to tell me when they told me they could do something. And I would just take them at their word that they could do it. Not knowing that when I ask somebody to do something, if the Holy Spirit is speaking through me, they really might not be able to do it because they can't see it, or they never comprehended it. And that's when I tested out what he said yesterday. God gave them. And one of them was really, really smart. And I know he was smart because I was watching him. He was trying to figure out what things were. He put his hands on stuff. So I said, he said, my mom reads a lot of books. He saw all these books around here. I said, yeah. I said, well, I write a lot of books. He said, wow. He said, well, my mom, I said, you really honor your mother, don't you? He said, yes. He said, my mom taught me everything I know. I said, and you're a pretty smart guy, aren't you? He said, well, they say I'm pretty smart. I said, well, what do you say? He said, I say I'm pretty smart too. I said, I know that because God showed me how smart you are. And he looked around, he saw things in here he had never seen before. I mean, you know, things to work, working things. And he asked me, well, what is that? I said, well, that's called an extra long stapler. And it's used to staple the middle of 8.5 paper when you turn it into a booklet. He said, oh, I've never seen one of these before. I said, that's why I'm taking the time to tell you what it is and what it does. He said, oh, thank you. Thank you. He said, my mom says that I need to. I said, let me tell you what your mom said. And I told him what his mom said. His mouth dropped open. He looked at me. I said, take your mom's advice. I said, this job here probably won't last forever. You don't want it to last forever. I said, go to school. He said, that's what I have been trying to decide. I said, go to school. I said, go to college. I said, if you don't get nothing but a associates, you like what you're doing, you smart, go to school. He said, thank you. And they got to smiling and working. And they did what they thought would be impossible, just the two of them. One was doing the computer part. The other one was doing the engineering part. I'm so happy in Christ. I was happy to be able to minister to them. I was happy. I saw the Holy Spirit. God let me see it. God let me see the Holy Spirit working in their mind and in their heart. The Bible say, but at first you have a willing mind. So anyway, we had to sit here, and while I was sitting here waiting for them and working with them, I accomplished two things that I had put off. Now, if you remember, you a member of Jesus Believers Church, and you did not receive a crown of thorns from me for Christmas, I need you to go to TedLineMinistry.com, and I need you to tell me, because they're sitting in the middle of the floor and on the pews. But since I went through all of that stuff, and Jose has sabotaged my, I don't even want to go there, but he had done some things that messed me up. So if you did not receive a little box with a crown of thorns in it, go to TedLineMinistry.com, put your name and your address, and we'll get it out to you this week. They're sitting here cluttering up the sanctuary. At least when you get it, you'll know it's been prayed over for a long time. Okay? The other thing is, except for Marie and the post office kept sending yours back because they keep telling us it's got to be GH or something. So we're going to send you yours UPS. Brother Joe is going to send you yours UPS with the address you gave us, and the post office keep telling us it have to be something else. So if UPS sends it back, then we'll see what happens. Brother Joe, next week, is going to start sending out the chairs. Okay, if you did not get one, go to TedLineMinistry.com. Put your name, address, zip code, and your phone number, and you'll have it the first part of the week, because we're gonna get them out today in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm gonna get them out as soon as I get your name and address. Some of you I had bought some books for. They in the middle of the floor too. I mean, everything stopped. Some of your Christmas gifts are stacked up on pews and on my, where I, one of these microphones. I'm feeling good. I am feeling good. Still being healed. But you know what God is doing? Now, you got to remember, I am 72. It feels like God has gave me new stuff. In the point when I was down, it's like God took that opportunity to heal everything that was wrong with me on the inside. And Brother Joe, too, I mean, God took that to really heal me. I feel like I got a new heart on the inside of me. It's like, I can't explain it to you, but God did a makeover from head to toe. All my bones feel good. I think when I went to meet Nadia the other day, it was rough, but I had to do that in order for God to get some other stuff out. And it seemed like when we walked in that restaurant, the lady took us all the way to the back. I said to Brother Joe, I said, oh, no. I said, she would take us all the way, excuse me, all the way to the back. And she did. And I had to walk it. But when I came home, God started working on my lungs and getting all this stuff out of me. So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Okay? And that's why, okay. You probably want to know if the angel showed up. Yep. The angel showed up this morning. Now you want to know something really weird? The angel said one thing. Did you lay this on my desk? Where did it come from? Okay. The angel had used Brother Joe because he said, go look, there's something on your computer, laying on your computer. Go look at it. So I went to my computer, and that's what I forgot to ask you, did you lay this there? Brother Joe laid it there, but he said he don't know where it came from. It came from where? In here?
No. In your room.
In my room. Okay. And so you laid it. Why'd you lay it in the computer?
I guess so you can see it, I guess.
God used this Brother Joe with me. This book, this little, how many pages is it? It's only 12 pages. I wrote it around 1995. Brother Joe said he just went and saw it and picked it up and put it and laid it at the computer. I know that was, the angel knew he did that. This was a little booklet, a little info thing I wrote in 1985. And I wrote it under Erica Joseph Shepherd Ministries. Okay? 95. I wrote it. And it says, just to cover, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. That'd be 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. That's the cover of this little booklet that I wrote way back then. And then that's when he gave me this thing this morning about him having placed a gift that is needed by someone in the world today, in us. But this little thing, I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to show you why. And that's all the angels say. He say, that's your message. That's my message to you. Your message back to you that God gave you in 1995. This is what I wrote. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us through the Apostle Peter's message in 1 Peter 5:8-9, we have an enemy with whom we must overcome and defeat. We must understand what we are up against, and we must not be caught with our spiritual defenses down, unaware, and unprepared. And then in bold type in the middle of the page, I say, we have an adversary that is malicious. By nature, the devil is a dangerous, wicked and cruel adversary. The devil harbors nothing but ill will and evil intentions toward each and every Christian on the face of this earth. He will devour every one of us that he can. His mission for us is found in John 10:10. The thief cometh, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Notice that Peter in the Bible calls the devil your enemy. The word enemy, similarly, the devil is our adversary. He opposes God and all that is good and all those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ and are submitted to God's Holy Spirit. The devil is the spiritual adversary of every believer. The word devil means slanderer. The Hebrew name Satan carries the same basic meaning. The devil is a slanderer. He is deceitful, and he is a liar. Jesus called him the father of lies in John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. His slanderous nature has been evident from the very beginning. In Genesis 3:4, King James Version, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here in this verse of scripture, the devil contradicted the warning that God had given to Adam concerning the forbidden fruit. When he said to Eve, you will not surely die. The devil delights in twisting the truth. Given the opportunity, he will slander God's word and deceive men, women, children, and animals. This is how he manipulates people into doing what normally they would not do. Perhaps you have known someone who seemed to love the Lord, but one day did something that was diametrically opposed to all that they professed. As you observed the situation, perhaps you wondered, why did he do that? Or how did that happen? Maybe you have experienced something similar in your own life. I just went through it. Probably at one time or another, you have said to yourself, why did I do that? Or how could I have said that? It is because we listen to deceitful lies of Satan. He slandered God's word, and we listen. He told us God was being unfair with us, and we have listened. The devil provides us with an excuse as to why it was all right in sin situations to do what we did. He tells us it is all right to bend the rules a little bit, to lie a little bit, to steal a little bit, and to hurt people a little bit to our advantage. The mouthpieces he uses are many, but nevertheless, he is the mastermind behind every justification. The devil has us so tricked that by the time we commit a sin, we have been convinced, if only for a moment, that it is justified. Behind all of Satan's slanderous accusations is a malicious intent. A malicious person causes deliberate harm. Satan is out to deliberately harm believers. We see this in the comparison the Apostle Peter uses. He says that our enemy prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Understanding what we are up against is imperative. We have to take our enemy seriously or we will become easy prey. James 4 and 7, King James Version, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We must acknowledge his adversarial stance, his slanderous methodology, and his malicious intent. If we hope to defend ourselves from his attacks, overthrow and defeat him, we must stand firm in our faith, taking a stand against the devil. Rock solid has to be our position. In Christ Jesus, we resist the devil by being dedicated to God, seeking to live according to his word. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The New Living Translation says in Genesis 15:1, the Lord's covenant promise to Abram. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. Brothers and sisters, your rewards are your covenantal blessings that you are entitled to as heirs of the kingdom of God and joint heirs with our Savior Jesus Christ, God's precious promises. We have listed just a few of those covenant promises here for you. However, there are many others. God has promised you fruitfulness, multiplication, and increase. Genesis 1:22. Prominence, expansion, and a good reputation. Genesis 12:1-3. An inheritance for your children. Genesis 22:15-8. The abiding presence of God. Genesis 26:2-5. God has promised you safety and security. Genesis 48:15-16. God has promised you that he will turn his face towards us. Numbers 6:24-26. God has promised you. God will exalt us above the heathen. Deuteronomy 28:1. He will bless us with fertility and with offspring. Deuteronomy 28:4. God has promised us the work of our hands will prosper and flourish. Deuteronomy 28:8. God has promised us that God will bless us with abundant provision and sustenance. Deuteronomy 28:11. God has promised us victory over our enemies. Deuteronomy 28:7. God has promised us a new heart and a clear conscience. Ezekiel 36:26, 1 Timothy 1:5. God has promised us recognition of God's favor on us by all those around us. Deuteronomy 28:10. God has promised us rain to refresh the land and to produce abundant crops. God has promised us, that's Deuteronomy 28:12. God has promised us rest when we are weary, Matthew 11:28. God has promised us love that is beyond knowing, Ephesians 3:19. God has promised us peace that passes our understanding, Philippians 4:7. God has promised us joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter 1:8. God has promised us mountain moving faith, Mark 11:23-24. God has promised us unlimited favor and grace, 2 Corinthians 8:9. God has promised us freedom from the power of sin, Romans 6:14. God has promised us deliverance from satanic oppression and addictive behaviors, 1 John 4:4. God has promised us the assurance of salvation, 1 John 5:13. God has promised us purpose, meaning, and significance in our lives, Jeremiah 29:11. God has promised us divine healing for our bodies, Psalm 103:3. God has promised us emotional healing from all our hurts and disappointments, Psalm 147:3. God has promised us companionship and intimacy with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 1 John 1:3. God has promised us prosperity and success in all our endeavors, Joshua 1:7-9. A rich and satisfying life, John 10:10. God has promised us divine direction and guidance, Proverbs 3:5-6. God has promised us wisdom and understanding, Proverbs 3:13. Harmony and unity in all our relationships, Psalm 122:1. God has promised us forgiveness for all our sins, 1 John 1:9. God has promised us strength and courage to persevere. Joshua 1 and 7, God has promised us redemption. Romans 3, 24, God has promised us compassion and mercy. Psalms 103, 13, God has promised us true satisfaction and contentment. Philippians 4, 11, wholeness in our lives. Matthew 9, 22, God has promised us we are conquerors and overcomers. Romans 8, 37, God has promised us hope for the future. Jeremiah 29, 11, God has promised us newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, God has promised us no weapon formed against us can prosper. Isaiah 54, 17, comfort when we are distressed. God has promised us satisfying sleep. Psalm 127 and 2, God has promised us eternal life. John 7, 47, God has promised us length of days and long life. Proverbs 9, 11, God has promised us answered prayer. Jeremiah 29, 12, God has promised us divine protection. Psalm 121, 7 through 8, God has promised us acceptance in the beloved. Ephesians 1 and 6, God has promised us divine ability and supernatural power. Acts 1 and 8. Freedom from worry and anxiety. Philippians 4 and 6. Excuse me. God has promised us insight and discerning abilities. Proverbs 16, 16. God has promised us power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8, 18. God has promised us seed for the sower. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. God has promised us giftedness and supernatural ability. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. God has promised us an anointing that will break every yoke. Isaiah 10, 27. God has promised us optimism, enthusiasm, and a can-do spirit. Philippians 4, 13. Brothers and sisters, we are the seed of Abraham and heirs of the promises of God. Galatians 3, 29. And if you be, are Christ, you are Abraham. I need to look this up. Can somebody post Galatians. Galatians 3:29 in the chat room. Galatians 3:29. I want you to post the whole scripture. Because in the book, I broke it down. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what I did is I wrote, and if ye, you, be, are Christ, then I wonder why I did that. Excuse me for a minute. Are ye? Nope, that's the way the Bible reads it. Okay, then are ye Abraham's seed? I wrote it like this because you gotta answer that. Then are ye Abraham's seed? And heirs according to the promise. Then are ye. You are. You are. That's why I wrote it in parentheses. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Thank you, God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly according to the power that worketh in us. Tomorrow I'm going to give you the story, the way the angel let me understand it. And I'm going to share that with you tomorrow. But I got it. I got. Lift your hands up to the Lord. I'm with you. I'm doing it. Father God, I am. Come on. I am. Can't hear you, Brother John. See? Father God, I am. In the name of your son, Jesus, Abraham's seed, and an heir, according to your promises. Lord God, awaken within me my inheritance as an heir to your promises. Right now. Right now. Thank you. Thank you. You listen to this again and again until it comes alive in you. The question is, if you be Christ, I am. I am Christ. I am the seed of Abraham and an heir according to all of the covenantal promises of God. You got it? And I read you those promises. Listen to them again and receive them all. And understand, you ain't receiving them all. You haven't received them all. But look out. They're right in front of you. And I want you to praise God for them right now. Praise them right now. Praise them right now.
Just make some noise to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's the name, the house of the Lord. We just want to dance with the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you see with us.
My father,
Jesus, my.
I believe. hear you say, I can't hear you say, goodbye to my trouble, goodbye to my anger, goodbye, y'all. Everybody raise it up. You must be God of miracles, say it.
You are the God of miracles.
You are the God of wonders.
Hey, hey, hey.